the man who repped Phil in these talks, which really started to gain steam, we hear, over the last 12 hours or so, Wade Arnott joining us. Wade, welcome to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time.
Wade, this might be a personal question, but I'm kind of curious. What's the cut on $64 million for an agent?
Don't answer that.
Just asking.
Not enough.
Not enough. That's the answer. Smart man, Wade. Okay, Wade, the timeline over the last 24 hours. Walk us through it. When did things really start to move?
Well, I would say to you it's probably a little longer than the last 24 hours. Just to back up, we probably have had ongoing discussions for the last few weeks with the Maple Leaf Management Group. I would say to you in the last 7 or 8 days, things began to really pick up in earnest. And over the weekend here, we really, I would describe it as really rolled up our sleeves and got down to brass tacks with Dave Nonis, Claude Lazelle, Dave Poulin, and the whole group in Toronto, and we came to a concluded deal here late last night.
We had talked earlier about hearing Phil say that he'd like to test the free agent market. What was the impetus of that change and getting it done before we dropped the puck on this season?
I'm not sure what you're referring to or when that timeline was. Phil's been pretty consistent in that if all things being equal, his preference was to stay here in Toronto. And I know that he had a one-on-one conversation with Dave Nonis in that regard early last week, and it was in relation to the time we were spending on, obviously, his supplemental discipline issue last week as well. And
right.
I think at that point, Dave fully realized that Phil was consistent. He really wanted to remain a Maple Leaf and wanted to stay here in Toronto. And I think that's when things really started to forge ahead.
Wade, it was pretty clear when you read some of the reports and kind of read between the lines that once the season started tonight and the puck dropped in Montreal, Phil did not want to have this on the table. He was going to focus on the season and go forward from there. How realistic was that hope from your end? Was that a drop-dead scenario on contract talks with you, or would you have softened that as the season progressed if things didn't get done over the last 7 days or so?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I want to be clear. It wasn't an ultimatum by the player. It was discussed early on with Maple Leaf management that Phil did not want this to become a distraction for either he or his teammates once the season started. Ironically, the club management agreed, and it became mutual that neither side wanted this to be a distraction on an everyday basis. So we had a soft deadline of the start of the season. It really wasn't discussed what would happen post regular season in that regard, but we did agree that once the season started, all things would be, if we didn't conclude a deal, we would obviously shelve the situation for some time.
Wade Arnott joining us here on Tim and Sid. With the cap moving at the end of the year, was there any thought process that a player of Phil's caliber might be able to make more than, say, an average annual value of $8 million per season?
You're referring to speculation in terms of the cap increasing?
Correct, yeah.
Well, you know what? This is a very tough question on our side of the equation. We, as a firm, in conjunction with obviously the NHLPA, have done a number of models in terms of where we think realistically the cap might go, but really no one knows, gentlemen. So
right.
We are crystal balling, so to speak, of where we hope this game continues to grow on the revenue side and ultimately increase our current cap structure. So it was taken into account going forward, but again, nothing is definitive in that regard.
On the line with Phil Kessel's agent, Wade Arnott, here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and occasionally 360. Was Dave Nonis point on the other side of this, Wade? Who were you dealing with predominantly?
Yeah, it was primarily Dave Nonis and Claude Lazelle. Both gentlemen were actively involved in the discussions and actively involved right through to the end.
Wade, one last thing before we let you go. We appreciate you coming on today. Obviously, Phil is aware of what this contract means in a city like this. Biggest in the history of the franchise at 8 years, $64 million. What is his mindset right now? I know we heard him at the podium just earlier today, but he's at times, Phil is a man of few words. You know him better than us. What is his feeling now going forward in the city and with this team?
I think excited comes to mind right away. He's been here for 4 years now. He came here as a very young man. He realizes what hockey means to this city, what the Maple Leafs mean to this city. I think he just received a small taste of what winning means to this city here as well, with them making the playoffs last season and, of course, what we experienced here against the Boston Bruins in the first round. So all those things certainly came into account when he made his decision that he wanted to stay here long term. He truly believes that they have the makings of a great core group of players here, coaching staff, that they can really, really do some exciting things going forward. And ultimately, he wanted to be part of that. He wanted to be a big, big part of that. So this gentleman lives and breathes hockey 24 hours a day. And he had made the choice that this is a place where he thinks he can bring a championship to. And I know he thinks about that on a regular basis. It would be a special place to see a Stanley Cup. But I think that he's real encouraged on some of the moves that management's made over the last number of months as well. And really excited about the future is how I would describe things.
We know it's been a busy day. Congrats on getting it done, and really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Sid. Thanks for having me.